Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
You don't hit that many people and keep going like you don't care.
A Moorhead State University student was killed by a hit-and-run driver in Chicago yesterday.
A judge has denied a motion to dismiss charges against an infamous former Social Security attorney.
More than 3 million Kentuckians are registered to vote in this month's primary.
Rowan County is positioned for additional job growth.
Moorhead's mayor is glad the state has decided to keep supporting the Kentucky Wired Project.
In sports, the Reds return to Great American Ballpark tonight to face the Mets.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 54 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead State student was struck by a vehicle and killed in Chicago early Sunday morning. WKYT reports 27-year-old Anan Elbalui was one of five people hit by a vehicle after the cab they were in broke down. Elbalui was pronounced dead at the scene. The other four were taken to area hospitals. Albalui was a junior international student and engineering major. He was reportedly the only MSU student in the group. Illinois State Police say the vehicle did not stop and that they have a female driver in custody.
Three people were arrested after two separate drug busts in Prestonsburg. According to WSAZ, police say the first happened on Sunday morning near Big Branch of Bull Creek during a traffic stop. Prestonsburg Police Chief Larry Woods said officers observed two people inside a car trying to hide drugs. After searching the car, officers say they found 20 grams of meth and nearly $3,000 in cash. Both Jesse Kraft and Elizabeth Skeens were arrested and charged with trafficking. Kraft also has two other trafficking meth charges that are pending. Also in Prestonsburg, a tip led police to an illegal marijuana growing operation on Cliff Road. Officers found 267 marijuana plants on the back porch of a house. William Osborne was arrested and charged with cultivating marijuana.
Court proceedings continued Friday morning in the case against Boyd County jailer Joe Burchett on charges of malfeasance. These charges are in response to inmate riots, multiple inmate escapes, and a recent fire at the Boyd County Detention Center. The Daily Independent reports a trial date was set by Special Judge Willie Roberts for May 17th. Burchett's attorney, Scott White, plans to file a motion for a change of venue, which could impact the trial date. Rowan County is being considered as a possible location for the case because of the history both Prosecutor Ronnie Goldie and Roberts have with cases in the area.
A judge has denied a motion to dismiss all charges by embattled former Social Security attorney Eric C. Kahn. Kahn filed a motion in March seeking to have the original criminal indictment against him dismissed. He pled guilty last year to theft and bribery in exchange for the government dropping 18 additional charges. Kahn went on the run and was discovered several months later. Kahn was sentenced in his absence to the maximum of 12 years, and prosecutors announced their intention to continue prosecution of the original 18 charges because they said he violated his plea agreement by fleeing. According to LEX-18, a judge rejected Kahn's motion, stating there has never been any real dispute on whether or not Kahn breached the contract.
A former Northern Kentucky district judge has been sentenced for human trafficking charges. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
Former Campbell County District Judge Timothy Nolan was sentenced to 20 years in prison after pleading guilty to numerous human trafficking charges. Nolan was originally charged for subjecting a child under the age of 18 to engage in commercial sexual activity. He was later indicted on 28 felony counts and two misdemeanor counts surrounding 19 victims. As part of his plea agreement, Nolan will also have to pay $110,000 in asset forfeiture and to the Human Trafficking Victims Fund. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll have more of your regional headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
Kentucky 4th District Congressman Thomas Massey admits he remains frustrated with the rising national debt and supports an Ohio congressman as the replacement for retiring House Speaker Paul Ryan. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, the Lewis County Republican discussed both issues when he spoke to the Kenton County Rotary Club last week. Massey believes Ohio 4th District Representative Jim Jordan would make an excellent replacement for Speaker Ryan.
I would love to see Jim Jordan step forward. There are a lot of us in Congress and a lot of the public, frankly, outside of Washington, D.C., who are pushing Jim Jordan to run for Speaker. I think he's got a path to victory. I think if the conservative organizations get behind him, if conservative TV gets behind him, and the president realizes that Jim Jordan is the people's choice, then I think Jim Jordan has a path to victory.
Massey also says he's bothered by the continuing rise of the national debt, attributing it to government overspending, not the recently approved federal tax cuts.
Regardless of recent events that have damaged his popularity in several circles, Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin won't affect the GOP in the state's midterm elections. That's the opinion of Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer. Bevin drew fire during the pension reform debate in the 2018 legislative session for his critical remarks about teachers. Thayer tells Spectrum News Pure Politics it's time for everyone to move on.
There's no doubt that some of Governor Bevin's comments have hurt his standing. But he's apologized. I think it's time to move on. And you cannot argue with success. And the fact is, under his leadership, Kentucky is on a very strong trajectory.
Thayer says he expects the GOP to hold on to the House and Senate in the upcoming elections.
A judge has ruled in favor of the Kentucky Attorney General's office and other plaintiffs after they filed a protective order against the governor's office in a legal battle over the pension reform law. According to WKYT, the protective order was filed to prevent Bevin's legal team from taking depositions. The Kentucky Education Association and the Fraternal Order of Police joined the Attorney General's office, saying the case is about legal, not factual disputes. The judge granted the motion, saying his goal is to keep the focus of the case on the legal issues. The governor's attorney disagreed with the ruling, saying they are being deprived of their right to gather all applicable information and basis for the allegations. The governor's main response to all of the allegations is due May 23rd.
More than 3 million Kentuckians are registered for the primary election, according to a recent tally. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
That tally was made by Secretary of State Allison Grimes and announced Friday. These numbers indicate an increase of 62,000 voters in comparison to the 2016 general election. Democrats represent just over 50% of the total number of Kentucky voters, with 1.68 million registered, while Republicans are 41%, or 1.39 million, of the voters. 8.5% of voters registered with a separate party or as other. More than half of the new voters are younger individuals, with nearly 77,000 people ages 18 to 25 signing up since the presidential election. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
The head of the Morehead-Rowan County Economic Development Council believes the area is primed for further job growth. According to Bob Helton, Independent Staves announcement last month that it will spend $66.5 million to build a new cooperage in Rowan County that will eventually employ 220 people could be just the tip of the iceberg. Helton says four other companies are currently reviewing the Morehead area for possible new ventures. He believes Kentucky's improving business climate and its booming job market are helping to drive the increased interest by businesses in Rowan County.
As workforce availability kind of dries up in other parts of the state from successes they've had in recruitment, we have a good workforce availability. We have a great training facilities both in MSU and MCTC Rowan campus out here. So things kind of lining up for us, the livability with the lake and the forest and those kind of things.
While most of the interest companies have in Rowan County is centered on locations inside the MMRC Industrial Park, other parts of the county are also being looked at.
St. Clair Healthcare in Morehead is not just a place that provides quality medical service, it's also a local economic catalyst, so says a spokesman for the facility. Tom Lewis is the executive director for St. Clair Foundation. He says few people know that with about 1,200 employees, SCH joins Morehead State University as Rowan County's largest employers. He adds that that large number of workers means St. Clair is pumping $1.5 million a week into the local economy.
So, you know, we feel like we are not just providing quality health care, but we are an economic catalyst that contributes to the area and also hopefully is part of what attracts new industry, new business to come in. We want to be a quality health care provider because we know that has an impact on whether this community is going to grow and prosper long term.
The St. Clair Foundation is in the midst of its annual giving campaign. More information about the effort can be found on the hospital's website, stclair.org.
When it comes to Kentucky Wired, Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is glad the state has decided against killing the project. The effort's goal is to run 3,400 miles of fiber optic cable across the Commonwealth to ensure that every part of Kentucky has high-speed internet service. However, delays and cost overruns had state legislators rethinking Kentucky Wired. They did, though, at the end of the 2018 session, appropriate $100 million for the next 2 years to keep it going. Trent says that's a relief because having access to quality broadband service is a must when it comes to cashing in on economic development opportunities.
I'm telling you now, from what I've researched and what I've talked to my fellow mayors and other city officials and county officials in eastern Kentucky, this is as critical as water infrastructure, as sewer infrastructure, as electric infrastructure, as gas or anything to attract jobs.
Legislators were also warned that ending the Kentucky Wired effort could cost the Commonwealth $500 million in lawsuits. The hope now is to complete the project in 2020.
The Morehead State University Concert Choir and Chamber Singers will hold an event this evening to help raise money for this summer's tour of Spain. The groups have worked for 4 years to raise roughly $140,000 for the trip, and they're still short of that goal. Director Dr. Greg Detweiler says a local business has stepped up to help.
Dairy Queen has offered to host an evening where people can come to Dairy Queen and have ice cream or eat food, and it's from 5 to 11, and part of the profits will go toward the choir trip.
The group will leave May 14th to perform in concerts in Madrid, Toledo, Valencia, and Barcelona, and at the 2018 Ubeda International Music Festival. Donations for the trip are also being accepted. Just contact Detweiler or send a check to him at 106 Baird Music Hall here on the campus of Morehead State University.
Production on a full-length feature movie, partially filmed in Morehead, is set to begin this month. Around 50 actors and staff will be in town to film scenes for London Calling, the story of a British businessman who launders money through the Appalachian coal industry. Producers held a casting call over the weekend. Brian Simmons auditioned for the role. He says the movie will benefit the area.
The actors will be coming in, A-list actors for the filming, the crews. So it's really going to boost the economy, create a lot of jobs in the area. And, you know, that's really key for Morehead.
Filming will begin May 21st.
Two eastern Kentucky schools are still on the lookout for new superintendents. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson reports.
The Fairview Independent School District and the Boyd County School District are still in the process of filling their superintendent positions. According to the Daily Independent, Boyd has yet to release any names on its candidate list, but will begin interviews this week. There are four top Fairview candidates being interviewed, two of which are local principals. They are Eric Hale, the current principal at Fairview High School, and Rebecca Howell, the Oakview Elementary principal. The two other Fairview candidates include Jacqueline Riston Smith, Chief Academic Officer in the Lincoln County School District, and Mark Thomas, Director of Operations for Spencer County Schools. A screening committee of teachers, parents, administrators, and support staff recommended the candidates to the board. The board is not required to hire any of the candidates and can even start the entire search process over if it wants. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 54 degrees. For Tuesday, mostly sunny and a high near 76. On Tuesday night, partly cloudy and lows around 56 degrees. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and a high near 80. Wednesday night, a 30% chance of showers late. mostly cloudy and lows around 63 degrees. And Flemingsburg right now, it's 70 degrees, and Lexington 69, Ashland 77, Winchester 70, Inez 75, and here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 74 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Rowan County's new superintendent is ready to get to work. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
John Maxey was named to replace Marvin Moore as Rowan superintendent. After 13 years in the role, Moore is retiring June 30th. Maxey began working for the district in 2009 as its technology director, working his way up to assistant superintendent. Maxey admits that he is very excited to take over for his longtime boss.
We've got an outstanding school district with wonderful personnel. We've got some terrific teachers and outstanding administrators, and so I'm just really excited and humbled to be a leader for the district, and I'm looking forward to leading us into the future. Rowan County's always had a strong tradition of excellence, and my vision is to continue that.
Because Maxey has worked inside the Rowan school system for several years, he believes that experience will serve him well in his new position.
I've been in and out of the buildings, and I've gotten to know and build relationships with the students and parents and community, and had an opportunity to understand what our strengths and weaknesses are out there in the district. So it's a huge advantage.
Maxey likes that he'll be leading a school district that already has things in good shape.
It's exciting to be a part of a team that's focused on what's best for students. And it's exciting to come into a district that doesn't have a lot of drama, that has a good, strong financial standing, that has good personnel in place and good administrators. So it's exciting to take over that and to look to the future for what we're going to do.
Maxey says working under Marvin Moore definitely helped him as he prepares to replace the veteran Rowan School's chief.
This makes 25 years for me, and I've worked under some tremendously strong superintendents. Some of the other districts I've worked in, we've had some outstanding superintendents to work with, and those people have given me a lot of opportunities as well. But Marvin has, ever since I've been here, involved me in a lot of decisions and leadership meetings that he's had, and those types of things have really grown me as an administrator, and I certainly couldn't thank him enough.
However, Maxey says his leadership style will be different from Moore's.
Although we'll be reaching for the same goal, how I'll accomplish that may look and feel a little bit different than people are used to, but we certainly have the same focus in mind, and that is to do what's best for kids. And every meeting that I go to or any decision that I'll make, I'll always be putting the children and the students of Rowan County first.
Maxey says he likes people and wants to be involved with as many things as he can inside the schools in the Rowan District. He wants to attend as many of their activities as he can.
I've got children in the school system, and they are involved in a lot of activities, but I plan to be embedded in all the activities. I've always attended games and events, and I want to be involved and see the students and be a part of their activities and be a part of everything that's going on in Rowan County.
The Rowan School Board chose Maxey for the superintendent's job over three other finalists. He'll officially take on the role July 1st. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 449 and 74 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg. We're coming to you from the Larry Netherton Studio in Breckenridge Hall. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
The Reds and Mets. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds return to Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 to host the New York Mets. The Reds were 8-5 losers at home yesterday to Miami. Interim manager Jim Riggleman's Cincinnati club may be dealing with a tired bullpen after using 7 pitchers in that game. Riggleman says weather issues and starter Brandon Finnegan's inability to pitch more than 3 1/3 innings created the bad situation.
He was in trouble. Get down, and then we get somebody up in the bullpen immediately, and then the next inning we have to get that person up again. we're going to lose that person in the bullpen if we do it again, you know, so we either got to make the move or not. So we decided to make the move to go to the next guy.
Homer Bailey takes his 0-4 record to the mound tonight for the Reds. The Mets will pitch rookie P.J. Collin. After winning two of three weekend games against Jacksonville State at home, the Morehead State Baseball Eagles are taking a breather. They don't play again until they visit Murray State Friday in the opener of a three-game OVC set. Sunday's 24-12 blasting of Jack State gave Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles their 30th win of the season, marking the fourth straight year they've accomplished that feat, which is a program record.
You know, I think the thing that I'm proud of most is, you know, obviously we went to a regional 15. We want to go back to a regional. But, you know, we've been pretty consistent as a program, and to do it over four straight years like that says a lot about, you know, our players and what the expectations are of the program.
At 16-8 in conference, the Eagles are in second place, a half game ahead of Austin Peay. The Morehead State softball team closed out their regular season over the weekend with four straight losses at Eastern Illinois and SIU Edwardsville. MSU finished the regular season with a 27-21 overall record, 8-14 in league play, good enough to take the eighth and final spot in the conference tournament. MSU now heads to Oxford, Alabama on Wednesday to do battle with top seed Eastern Kentucky at 5:30 in the double elimination tournament. After a lengthy search, Ashland Blazer High School has hired a new boys basketball coach. WMKY's Chuck Mirage reports on that.
The Ashland Daily Independent says the school has named Jason Mays to the Tomcats bench. The 42-year-old Mays is a veteran college assistant coach. He's worked at both Georgetown College and Kentucky Wesleyan College. Mays took over the KWC program near the end of last season after the resignation of Happy Osborne. Mark Swift is Blazers athletic director.
He comes highly recommended, and through the process, really felt like he was both the best candidate, and we're looking forward to the leadership that he'll provide for our program.
Mays replaces Jeremy Howell as Blazers coach. Howell was fired after this past season despite leading the Tomcats to a 24-6 record. He was 53-35 in three seasons in Ashland. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
The Kentucky basketball program is adding the son of assistant coach Kenny Payne to its roster. WKYT reports that 6'5 guard Zan Payne will join the Wildcats next season after averaging over 19 points and 7 rebounds a game last season at Lexington Catholic. Meanwhile, some of the outgoing Cats had the chance to walk on the red carpet prior to Saturday's Kentucky Derby. One of them was Hamadou Diallo, who told Spectrum News that he's preparing to give NBA scouts an eyeful before next month's draft.
Definitely just working on my consistency. Working on my skill set. I'm just trying to get better every day, working on my body and just making sure I'm taking care of my body.
Diallo is one of several Cats who've made themselves eligible for this year's NBA draft. The Eastern Conference Finals could be set tonight with a couple of sweeps. First at 6, Boston will look to close out the 76ers in Philly. Boston won Game 3 in overtime with the help of Al Horford's late basket and game-sealing free throws. Celtics coach Brad Stevens says his team goes as Horford goes.
Yeah, he's the stabilizer for our group. There's no question about it. When things get going poorly, everybody just kind of looks to Al, you know, including the coaches. We all just kind of stare at Al and wait for him to say something. And then when he says something, we all feel better and take a deep breath, and maybe we can go into overtime and win this thing. Like, he's unbelievable.
Then at 8:30, Cleveland looks to close out its series with top-seeded Toronto at home. Cavs head man Tyronn Lue says he expects the Raptors to come out and play desperate.
It's a tough game because, you know, it's either win or go home for the team that's down 3-0. And when you got a team with a lot of pride that's well coached, they're not just going to give in. You know, they're going to do everything they can to try to win a game and try to get it back to Toronto. And we understand that. So we got to just come out with the right mindset and just master intensity early and just try to close it out if we can.
If both Boston and Cleveland win tonight, the teams will get a week off before they battle each other in the Eastern Conference Finals next Monday. Also from the association, the Detroit Pistons have fired Stan Van Gundy as both their head coach and president of basketball operations. Van Gundy had 1 year and $7 million remaining on his original 5-year deal. Also, the New York Knicks have officially signed David Fizdale to a 4-year contract to become their new head coach. It was announced today. Fizdale comes to New York after they fired Jeff Hornacek after the season. Fizdale coached the Memphis Grizzlies into the Western Conference playoffs in his one full season as head coach in Memphis. And San Antonio Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon is reportedly the favorite to become the Milwaukee Bucks' new head coach, which would make her the first female head coach in NBA history. Finally in sports, a veteran member of the Cincinnati Bengals likes what the team accomplished during the recent NFL draft. According to running back Gio Bernard, the Bengals did well with their 11 picks.
It was good. Yeah, I think we, you know, filled up some spots. We got some depth in other positions. That's always nice to do, and that's what you kind of want to do in the draft is build a team up with some young players, some young talented players, and go from there.
Starting with Ohio State center Billy Price, the Bengals took 5 offensive players. They also took 6 players to help out their defense. The Bengals are currently going through voluntary offseason workouts up at Paul Brown Stadium. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Baseball welcomes Western Carolina at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, May 16th. They will close out their regular season hosting Tennessee Tech for 3 games, May 17th through 19th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed higher as technology shares posted a 3-day winning streak. However, the major averages closed well off the highs of the day after President Trump tweeted he will be announcing his decision on the Iran deal tomorrow. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 94.81 at 24,357.32. The S&P 500 was up 9.21 at 2672.63. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 55.6 at 7265.21. Trump, who has railed against the U.S.-Iran nuclear deal, which was signed in 2015, sent his tweet about the Iran decision earlier this afternoon around 2:45. And the deal, of course, lifts sanctions on Iran in exchange for the Middle Eastern nation curbing its nuclear program. And this nervousness actually had an effect on the oil markets pretty much all day. Oil started out very strong, and energy stocks themselves were very strong. At one point, the Energy Select Spider Fund rose as much as 2.3% before finishing just marginally higher on the day. Stocks did add to strong gains seen in the previous session in these sectors. And, of course, Apple was a big beneficiary of news that Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway bought 75 million shares of the company last week, and the stock continued its climb today. Apple finished or actually hit an all-time high before closing up 0.7%. In corporate news, Nestle agreed to pay $7.15 billion to Starbucks for the rights to sell the coffee chain's products globally. Starbucks shares rose briefly before slipping 0.4%. Blackstone reached a deal with Gramercy Property Trust to buy it for $7.6 billion in cash. Gramercy stock shot up more than 15% on this news. In the oil markets today, as mentioned, the uncertainty around Iran and also Venezuela's economic woes contributed to oil's gains as it finished right at $70 a barrel, and that was a gain of 0.4% for the day. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,314.50 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong with the Stock 600 index up 0.625%. In Asia, markets were mixed with the Nikkei down less than 0.1%, and the Shanghai Composite actually finishing up 1.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Nike, while the worst performers were Walmart and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Illumina and Medtronic, while the worst performers were International Flavors and Fragrances and Dentsply Sirona. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 16 cents at 73.36, CSX up 53 cents at 60.50, AEP down 60 cents at 68.79, AK Steel up a penny at 4.55, Marathon Petroleum down 43 cents at 76.51, and U.S. Bank Corp was unchanged at 50.34. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Sean Delaney, Logan Pemberton, Peyton Stewart, Kenzie Thompson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and KNN's Haley Hansen. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Traz Jenkins. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.